This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Welcome to the second hour. Donal Cavanagh with you until 12 noon today. Coming up very shortly, we'll have our Community Garda information slot. Garda Niall Maguire joining us in studio very soon. We'll have the bingo numbers coming up shortly as well. But before we do any of that, we'll take a look at some of your comments. Caller says, intra-family violence among the traveller community is a huge problem and we don't talk about it. Only the head of a family has a say. You're not able to stand up for yourself. Caller says, all dogs should be on a leash when in public places, regardless of the breed of dog. Now, comment from a caller saying, first of all, fair play to RTE for making the programme Murder of a GAA Chairman, but where's the follow-up? Not a word of it on news coverage this morning. No further analysis. It's proven that there were 25 people involved in this murder, many of them state members of the police or agents of the police or army. Army security cameras were turned off. Evidence wasn't gathered by detectives. Police surveillance of known terrorists was suspended during the time of the attack. A slow waltz of information was released by police and still to this day obstruction. Three applications officially made for information on this murder to be withheld in the interests of national security. It's led to the inquest into Sean Brown's murder this year being called off because of obstruction and lack of information from the British authorities. This man was involved in nothing, only serving his community as a GAA chairperson. Caller says, I've been asked to send the following to you on behalf of a friend who's not on email. I have a question for yourself and your listeners. How would you feel if you found out someone you worked with has been urinating in the canteen bins where you eat your food, over the equipment, vehicles and tools you use daily, and over spare parts? Well, that's what's been happening in this location. It's been happening for some time. The person was caught and there are pictures to prove it. The supervisor has tried to say it's not an issue. The person who raised the issue was the person who was punished and moved to another job. If you knew where this happened, it would shock you. Any advice would be welcome. That's from a caller. Also, we have a caller saying, listening to ordinary people on the streets, they're fed up with the government not listening to them. They're making massive decisions that will affect their lives without consulting them or listening to their concerns and then being labelled if they voice their concerns. This is a way the government shuts down debate and unfortunately the media are afraid to tackle the problem issues and the government get away with it. That's according to one of our callers. And the government are out of touch with reality. And yes, as Piers Doherty rightly said, it's time to give someone else a chance. This government is on one side only, in my opinion, and it's not on the side of those who are well off. Of those less well off, excuse me. That's one of our callers there. Another comment before we go to our bingo numbers. I wanted to contact you to tell you about my father's recent experience at Letterkenny University Hospital. My father, who has Parkinson's, was sent to the A&E by ambulance last week after a very serious fall at home. He was released later that evening and unfortunately had to be readmitted later on in the night. He was admitted to Medical 2 in the early hours of the morning. We know how lucky he was to get a bed. I can't praise the staff in the hospital highly enough, nurses, nursing aides, physiotherapists, registrar, doctors, etc. Cleaning staff, canteen staff and radiologists, I hope I haven't forgotten anyone, they all knew my father by his first name. They took the time to chat to him. They showed him such respect, patience and compassion when looking after him. Those carers do not get the recognition they deserve. They're to be commended for the exceptional care they give people in the hospital. Yes, there are serious issues to be addressed in the emergency department in Letterkenny and indeed in every emergency department across the country. Letterkenny is in no way the exception. Our hospitals are understaffed and hospital staff are overstretched and overworked. Our health system needs to be overhauled. We all know that. I just wanted to take this opportunity to tell all the staff at Letterkenny University Hospital that they're doing an amazing job. My father has never been in the hospital before. He's 80 years old and we feel very blessed as a family that he was looked after by such a dedicated and wonderful staff throughout his stay in the hospital. I'll be eternally grateful for the care you all gave my father. Thank you and bless you all. And that's from Deirdre Doherty. And Deirdre, thank you indeed for the letter. We're absolutely delighted to say that. And in fairness, it's always acknowledged when people come on. And even if people are coming on to point out the shortcomings at the hospital, the line you always hear is, the staff were great, but... And that's if Letterkenny University Hospital was to have a motto, that motto would be, the staff were great, but. And the but is on the side of investment, staffing, management, etc., etc. There's so many things come under that but. But the one thing we're always told is, and the one constant in all discussions about the hospital is, that the staff are fantastic and that they're overworked and they do an amazing job. And we're absolutely delighted to point that out and to bring you that comment.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Time for our Community Garda information slot. Delighted to welcome into studio Garda Niall Maguire from Milford Garda Station. Niall, good morning.
Good morning, Donal, and all to your listeners.
And a busy one today, a number of incidents. In fact, some incidents we discussed on the programme today and yesterday, which we'll get to in a moment. But we're going to begin with an assault on Main Street in Ballybofey at the weekend.
Yeah, this happened on the Main Street on Sunday the 21st of April around 1:30 a.m. in the morning. A man who was with a group of others was approached by another group of men at that location, the Main Street in Ballybofey. Unfortunately, he was assaulted by one of the other men in question, and he sustained serious but non-life-threatening injuries as a result. So if anybody can help us identifying who was involved, maybe they could call Letterkenny Garda Station, who will put them in touch with the investigating guards. And that number is 07491671100, or indeed if anyone travelled on the Main Street in Ballybofey on the 21st of April in the wee hours between 1 and 2 a.m. and they had dash cam, they might make it available to the guards in Letterkenny or Ballybofey, or indeed contact any Garda station for any appeals I have today, Donald.
Going back to last week and a break-in at a house in the Roskier area of Lifford.
Yeah, Roskier, Lifford, between 6 p.m. on Monday the 15th of April and 11 a.m. on Thursday when it was discovered. A window was smashed at the rear of the house and entry was gained. The house was ransacked, unfortunately, but we don't know if anything was stolen at this moment. We appeal to anybody who may have observed any suspicious activity in the Roskier area between Monday and Thursday. Please contact the guards in Letterkenny again, 07491671100.
Moving to Inishowen and a break-in at a car in the Burnfoot area.
Yes, an unlocked vehicle, unfortunately, Donal, at Angrenian Park, Burnfoot, between 8 p.m. on Tuesday the 16th of April and 9:15 a.m. the following morning, Wednesday the 17th. A car that had been unlocked was entered between these times, and a cream quilted Guess branded purse containing a sum of cash was stolen from it. So the Garage Mulcrana would like to hear from anybody that can help us solve that one, or if anyone knows the whereabouts or find this maybe possibly empty quilted Guess cream purse, please contact the Gardaí in Mulcrana, 07493205400.
And maybe a gentle reminder to people, just always as you're leaving your car, particularly at night, just give the handle a tug just to make sure it's locked, because it's something I suppose we've all at some point walked away from the car and forgotten to lock it.
For sure, Donald, I suppose a lot of these are opportunist criminals, and they're maybe they're not forcing windows and doors. They're just going around checking doors, and the one that's unlocked will be the one that's entered and something stolen from it.
Gardaí also looking at the theft of an electric scooter in Letterkenny at the weekend.
Yes, these scooters are quite popular now, Donald, but unfortunately on Sunday the 21st of April between 2:15 in the afternoon and 2:30, so a very specific time between 2:15 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. A Segway branded 9-bot scooter in question is black in colour, was stolen at the Port Road. So anyone that maybe saw someone making off with this black Segway scooter, please contact the Gardaí in Letterkenny. It is in around the Letterkenny Shopping Centre car park or the station roundabout between 2 p.m. and 2:45 p.m. We would like to hear from anybody that can help us, and if anybody maybe has seen maybe possibly this scooter abandoned, maybe let the guards in Letterkenny know and we'll get it back to its owner.
You said earlier that some car crime is opportunistic and damage isn't done. Sadly for one Letterkenny resident, they found out yesterday morning the damage had been done.
For sure, Donald, and I suppose for different reasons. This is vandalism and criminal damage as opposed to theft. This happened at the Glen Tain Manor in Letterkenny, and it was discovered on Monday morning, the 22nd of April. The rear windscreen of their car had been smashed overnight. The damage is believed to have been caused between midnight and 6 a.m. So if anybody is able to help us from the Glentane Manor area from the small hours of Monday until Tuesday, please contact my colleagues in Letterkenny, 9167100.
Anyone that was listening yesterday to the programme will have heard the Raimachi Historical Society on with us about an incident, and you have an appeal with regards to the same incident.
Yeah, I heard your guest on yesterday, Donal, a very unfortunate incident, and another one then in Raphoe, similar, and I heard you had someone speaking about that this morning.
Yep.
Yeah, so Raimachi, a beautiful ancient graveyard, Raimachi Abbey Graveyard in Manor Cunningham. Some headstones were vandalised and an information sign was smashed. This is a community enterprise, Donal. It's not a government agency that looks after this. It's just local people that dedicate their time and fundraising towards looking after this beautiful graveyard, which has got huge historical significance in the area. So this happened between 6 p.m. on Friday the 19th of April and midday on Saturday the 20th of April. Again, an information sign that was erected by the Raimachi Historical Society was completely destroyed. Anyone that can assist us and the community in Manor Cunningham, please, the Guards in Letterkenny would love to hear from you on 0749167100 or indeed the Garda confidential line.
Yeah, and as you said, we did earlier on this morning speak to Very Reverend Liz Fitzgerald, the Dean of Raphoe, with regards to what happened there in St. Judas Cathedral.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm sure not connected, Donal, because these things do pop up from time to time. And if I can be bold enough to suggest that, you know, a lot of the times when these things happen, we're end up finding empty beer cans and stuff in the graveyard. So it can be just maybe drunken behaviour and then moves on to something a bit more sinister when they start maybe getting a bit carried away. So that is one of the links we're looking at. We're not suggesting that the two incidents are linked by any means. But yeah, I suppose this incident happened between 6:15 p.m. on Thursday the 18th of April and then the following morning, Friday the 19th of April at St. Eunan's Cathedral in Raphoe. Two headstones were smashed between those time and another was knocked over. We are anxious to progress both these investigations and we appeal to anybody who can offer any relevant information to make contact with us. If anybody observed anybody in the graveyards between the times mentioned, please, again, Letterkenny's looking after both incidents and they can be contacted on 0749167100.
And finally, another criminal damage incident in Letterkenny.
Yes, at College Park, Letterkenny, on Thursday the 18th of April, at around 11 p.m, the front living room window of a house in that area was smashed by a stone at that time. If anybody was in the area at College Park around that time or anybody knows any information that can help us catch whoever did this, again, Letterkenny Garage looking after this, 0749167100.
And we're going to move on to a couple of questions that came in last week. The first one relating to learner drivers, and specifically, some learner drivers will cut away the red L from the white sticker and just put the red L on the back of their car. Is that legal?
No, that's not legal, Donal. There's no offence there for failing to display an L plate, and the legislation defines what an L plate is. And an L plate should be not less than 15 centimetres high with a border of at least 2 centimetres on a white background. Failure to display a proper L plate will result in 2 penalty points and a €60 fine. So the L plates, as you buy them in the shop, are the way they're supposed to be displayed.
So if someone cuts away all the white and just has the L, that will not suffice as far as Uncle Dougie Connor are concerned?
People have been prosecuted and received fixed penalty notices for that, don't know.
In terms of the new greenways, and we're seeing, thankfully, because they're wonderful investments, we're seeing some greenways popping up in many areas of the county. Is it compulsory for cycling clubs to use those new greenways along the roadside, or are they just for the casual cyclist?
No, it's not compulsory to use the cycle paths, except in very limited circumstances. The use of contraflow cycle tracks and cycle tracks in pedestrianised areas are mandatory. So you can't be on the footpath or whatever if there is a cycle path there. The use of cycle lanes are all obviously recommended for safety reasons, but you're not obliged. There's no legislation to state that cyclists have to use them as opposed to using the main carriageway.
What are the rules about work vans using flashing orange lights? Are they allowed on all the time or only at certain times? I mean, obviously they have no legal significance per se. They're there as a warning. So is there law around the use of those lights? You see them on work vans in particular.
Yeah, well, suppose an amber flashing light or an orange flashing light is a hazard warning light. So yeah, we don't have any particular problem with people using them when they're alerting other road users to a particular hazard. They're beneficial for people to have, unless they're being misused by someone for some other purpose. Maybe the cool factor or something if they're having these strobe lights on their vehicle. But yeah, there is legislation around it. Like, it's mandatory for tractors to have an amber flashing light, and slow moving vehicles to warn of wide loads, etc. There is legislation and very specific to which vehicles can and must use them, but generally it's a hazard warning. So yeah, we encourage when there is a hazard in the road, people should use amber lights. If somebody has a particular problem, this caller, in relation to maybe inappropriate use of amber lights, call into your Garda station and we'll talk about it.
Yeah. What's the situation if you have an accident and your car is off the road for 4 months? Can you get that time taken off your tax and insurance?
Only if you notify prior. It's only per month, Donal. It's you need to fill in a SORD form. So I know people may be more familiar with the SORN form in Northern Ireland. SORN is a statutory off-road notification in Northern Ireland. In this side of the border, it's a SORD, statutory off-road declaration. So if you had an accident, say, today, well, then you wouldn't be entitled to claim this month back. It would only be at the start of the next calendar month in May. And it is a minimum of 3 months you have to claim, and it's a maximum of 12 months. So it has to be at the start of the next calendar month, and you can reclaim a refund or a pause of your motor tax if your vehicle's been involved in an accident, or if it's been stolen, hasn't been recovered, or it's been scrapped or destroyed. Yeah. So long as it hasn't been used in a public place at all in that time.
And there's also been some sort of situations, such as sort of people perhaps serving overseas with the Defence Forces or someone going away for an elongated period.
Yeah.
That it can hold in those instances as well. And you have received a few questions, you were saying, about foreign registered cars.
Yeah. I think maybe, Gráinne, you received these from last week's appeals. Someone called in relation to foreign registered cars and where they originated from. They must be covered by insurance to allow for their use on Irish roads. And if you're involved in a collision with a foreign registered car and there's no disc displayed, as is normally the case in the Republic, the guards will attend when required and will ascertain the insurance details at the scene and will swap the details between the drivers involved. And I'm aware that, you know, there is apps, etc., for vehicles from Northern Ireland and the UK that you can check if the car is insured. Certainly, if the guards are required at an accident because you're unsure of insurance details, well, then they'll always attend.
Yeah. And is there a difference between countries within the EU and countries not in the EU? Because, I mean, I'm presuming that some of the cars people are referring to here are coming from Eastern Europe. Some will be coming from countries within the European Union. Some won't. Does that make a difference?
Well, generally, a lot of the countries now don't have discs on board.
Yeah.
But they still are required to have mandatory third-party insurance when they enter the state, even if it's just for a short period of time or if they're permanently becoming resident here. So, yeah. They're obliged to have third-party insurance, and the same criteria applies if they have an accident as to a resident here.
And third-party insurance in their home country extends to EU-wide. Other countries in the EU,
Yeah, it has to be an EU insurance policy,
So if the car is not originating in the EU, then the rules are going to be slightly different.
Yeah, but you're still required to have mandatory insurance that fits the necessary requirements for whatever the legal remit is for insurance. And it's the same as hiring a car in Ireland. You have to have the local insurance, even if from, say, America or whatever.
Yeah.
You may have your own insurance, but it won't suffice here.
Yeah. Gordon and McGuire, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's the Community Garda information slot. And just to remind people, if anyone can help, they can contact the relevant local Garda station or contact any Garda station or the confidential line. And if you want to just finally remind us what the confidential line is.
1-800-666-111.
Garda Ní Maguire, thank you very much indeed.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91-26025.
It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. You may remember just under 11 months ago in May of 2023, 21-year-old Rebecca Brown from the Gallia area of Derry was killed in the early hours of a Sunday morning at Ludden near Buncrana. She was hit by a Garda car and the collision was subsequently referred to GSOC, the Garda Síochána Ombudsman Commission. We're joined on the line by Karina, who is Rebecca's aunt and godmother. Karina, good morning.
Good morning.
Karina, I'm sure the family will be thinking a lot about Rebecca in, well, you always think a lot about Rebecca, I'm sure, but with the first anniversary coming up in just a few weeks' time, you'll be thinking an awful lot at the moment. But one of the questions that's hanging over the family at the moment is, where stands that Garda Síochána Ombudsman investigation?
Yeah, we haven't heard much since July. And we're just anxious now, really, for answers, any kind of answers, just to kind of help us, you know.
We know that initially the GSOC investigation was looking into whether there was any breaches of Garda discipline. In July, they announced they were changing the focus and they were looking to see was there any question of Garda criminality. And that was a change in focus that the family welcomed at the time.
We did. And it was quite soon after as well, like July, that's not long after it happened. So we thought that's very quick pace and progress. So, you know, but since then, I know that there is an investigation still going on, but we just would like more answers and more updates, you know.
Madden and Finucane, the solicitor firm, have been acting on your behalf. Are they making any headway in terms of the questions they're asking?
Well, yeah, but as I've said, the communication's been quite lackluster, coming, you know, through to them as well. And it's just making us more and more anxious. And, we really just want to be finding out something now. And it's terrible to see my family crushed by this, you know, and I think in the silence, it's just makes it so much more difficult.
Is there a sense that until you get those answers, until you get some closure from a legal point of view, you won't be able to properly mourn, you won't be able to properly grieve?
That's correct. Yeah. Every day you're waking to find out, you know, more. We are waiting on the forensic report. And even to give us some indication of what happened that night, you know.
And of course, there's no question of an inquest taking place yet because this is a live investigation as well. So
That's correct, all that is,
you know, in the future as well. We're talking about Rebecca in a very legal way, but we can't forget that who we're talking about is a person, a 21-year-old hairdresser, someone you loved, someone who was much loved by her entire family. Tell us about Rebecca.
Rebecca was very down to earth, very caring and loyal. Girl, she was very, very popular, and you couldn't not love Rebecca. It was as simple as that. She was very, very talented, and just happy all the time. She, you know, it's looking back, you're going, she lived so much in those 21 years, you know, just to be happy. I don't think I've ever seen her unhappy. She was singing everywhere she went. She was just really caring. And we are doing a sponsored walk at the end of the week there on Sunday in Derry for Make-A-Wish Foundation in her memory. And that was kind of like Rebecca just loved children and loved looking after children and she'd do anything to help people. So that kind of sums up Rebecca, you know.
I recall at the time of the funeral, a lot of family members were actually wearing T-shirts that had Rebecca's picture on them. And that really was a way of ensuring that Rebecca's image was front and centre, that she was never forgotten and never would be forgotten.
That's correct, yeah. It was a big shock, as you can imagine, you know, to the full community. And, yeah, she just, she'd be looking down. She would have been proud of, you know, seeing that sea of Rebecca's faces everywhere, you know.
the anniversary that's coming up, not something you're looking forward to, but it's going to be an anniversary. I'm sure that you'll be doing a lot of talking, a lot of meeting together as a family, a lot of reminiscing as a family.
That's correct, yeah. We have a lot of things planned, again, for these fundraisers in Rebecca's memory. So that's kind of keeping us, you know, going in the sense, you know, as a family. You know, we're just trying to kind of give back, because that's what Lynn, her mum, kept saying, is she'll never get her wish of Rebecca coming back through her door, but if we can help other families, you know, that's what's keeping us going.
And in the meantime,
their wish.
And along with that fundraising, along with that wish to remember Rebecca by helping others, you also want those answers that we spoke about at the start. You want to hear where GSOC are in their investigation, and really you want to see where this is going and what's going to happen next.
That's correct, yeah. But that's what we're really hoping, you know. It just gets every day you're waking up, you're thinking, you know, are we going to find out anything? Is there going to be any kind of update? You know, but we know nothing. We have been completely in the dark, you know, and it's just getting harder and harder to face.
Corina, godmother and aunt of Rebecca Brown, the 21-year-old hairdresser from Gallia in Derry, who was killed in May of last year at Ludden near Buncrana after she was hit by a Gardaí car. Thanks very much indeed for speaking to us this morning, and we'll obviously be thinking of you and the family in the coming weeks. Corina, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Multicultural Week in St. Junan's College in Letterkenny, and I'm joined by two sixth-year students from St. Junan's. I'm joined by Raheem Siddiqui, who's a sixth-year student and head mentor. Raheem, good morning.
Good morning.
And also joined this morning by Christian Crosnoy, who is, again, a sixth-year student and also a mentor. Christian, good morning to you.
Good morning.
I'm going to ask you first, Raheem, just your mentors.
Yeah.
Now, tell us what mentoring actually is in the context of St. Junan's.
So, like, mentoring, me and Christian were talking this morning. It's basically like being an older brother in school. So, like, we have first and second years, and we'd, like, really just look after them, see how they're doing. Like, if they need help with anything, I'll always be there for them and help them out. That's basically what it is, like, someone to be there for you when you need help, you know?
Yeah. And especially if someone perhaps hasn't grown up in Ireland, they've moved to Ireland perhaps relatively recently, it's going to be a whole new experience for them, something that they're not really going to be find it difficult to navigate in, and that's where you come in.
Exactly. So, like, see, in my own experience, when I came to Ireland, I was like, I wasn't really sure how to make friends because I didn't know how things were. So having a mentor would have really helped me, because I know it's like, really, they can show you lots of things and introduce you to people. So it's like really great, you know.
And Christian, from your point of view, getting into mentoring was something that you did it come natural just to become a mentor to you, or was there training involved, or how did you actually take on that role?
So there wasn't necessarily much training involved. You obviously had to be, you know, polite to the students and all, but you could also be yourself. And respectful to everyone, but your being yourself was the main goal, and getting everyone to be themselves as well, to be free.
Yeah. And in terms of the work you're doing, I mean, is it very much informal, or do you have official meetings with people? How does it work? Is it just that you wear a badge around the college and speak to someone who wants to have a chat, or are chats organized and meetings organized?
Yeah, so there's a bit of both. We have a mentor hub every Thursday where all the mentees can come, and there's usually three to four mentors every Thursday. And or they see us and they can talk with us anywhere. They can message us on Gmail, on WhatsApp, and we are available for them.
And Raheem, the kind of conversations you're having, is it just conversations? Is it just chats, or is it more advice sometimes?
See, it really depends on who you're talking to. Like, let's say you want to help someone out with a certain thing, you need to like have them open up to you. Like, you need to get them on like a friend level, but like not like that. You need to also have like a professional side of it where you like, so let's say someone wants help with something, but like they don't know how to open up. So I like just have to like help them out to like become friends with them in a way. So like they're more open to talking about what's bothering them, or like if they need help with school, I'd be more professional with that.
And Christian, I'm sure too, there's a lot of confidentiality involved. I mean, the last thing you can do is have a conversation with someone and then, you know, be chatting to one of your friends later and say, oh, I was talking to your man and he told me this. Obviously, you have got to respect confidentiality at all times.
Yes, except where we feel that the student is having a serious problem, we need to take it to our coordinator.
Yeah. But obviously you're not talking about your conversations in general chats with your own mates.
No, never.
Raheem, tell me about Multicultural Week at the college. What does it involve?
So we've been doing a lot this week. So me, my teacher, Ms. McKay, Christian, and a lot of other people have been drawing flags to make a bunting. So we've colored flags in and then put them everywhere on our hallway. And it's like, it looks really great. And it represents all the 43 nationalities that we have in our school that are counted. And throughout the week, we're going to have like a bunch of activities for the international students. So like today, we're having a sports day, which is going on later. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of international students and mentors, they can be involved in that. And we actually learned a new sport that Christian is like, is from his country. So it's called Oina. We were doing that with everyone. And it's pretty enjoyable. It's like nice to learn something new.
Christian, tell us about this sport. This is a complete new one on me, to be honest.
Yeah, so it's called Oina. It's from Romania. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's like a mix of baseball and dodgeball.
Right. So a bit of rounder. So we call it
rounders, yes.
Rounders. Rounders, we would have called it more so than baseball. So what, you're playing dodgeball, but with bats?
No. So,
that would be good, though. That would be very good.
Yes, but no. So there's
an ambulance
like
on the spot.
There's a 3x3 square, mm-hmm. In like the middle of the field.
Yep.
And there's two bats and two tennis balls, and there's two different teams as well. There's the batters and there's the people on the square. They have to catch the ball and throw it at the person that's running. Yeah. Like in rounders, you have to run around the bases.
Yeah.
And it's similar. Those squares are the bases. So it's one giant loop back. And they can only throw the ball from their places, from their spots.
Oh,
but they can
right.
pass the ball as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting one, and it's been played as part of the festivities today.
Yes.
And that's interesting, because I think that is an example of what really can come from a multicultural week, because you've brought a new sport. I mean, one of the things I love about any multicultural gathering, and I know you wouldn't think it's a look at me, but people bring different foods.
Yeah.
And I love getting into multicultural gatherings, because you just get new tastes, you get new experiences in terms of eating. And the reality is, we all have something we can teach each other. We all have something we can bring to the table like that. So be it sport, be it food. And I'm sure with music as well. I mean, you know, I'm sure you all know really great bands in your own home countries, or you've all experienced great music, and you say, hang on a tick, if you like you too, wait till you hear these guys and you play those, you know. And I'm sure in sharing the various elements of, be it music, be it food, be it sport or whatever, I mean, everyone's bringing something to the table.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like, you do learn a lot. Mm. Like, I'm from somewhere else, but learning from even about Irish mm-hmm. cultures is nice, and everyone else is there. They can teach us about their cultures. So, like, it's always amazing to know more stuff. And then that's another way to make friends. And, you know, it's like something, you know, it's like a skill in a way.
Yeah. But the fact that everyone can share their skills.
And yeah, it brings people closer.
Everything. It brings people closer. Yeah. But it also introduces things. And I mean, I could see some great bands crop up where you get people from different nationalities all bringing their own.
Oh, yeah, they all make a band together.
Great fusion. Yeah. I could see some great fusion music coming out of this. I mean, I don't know if you ever heard of the Afro-Celt sound system.
Oh, no.
Where they got musicians from Ireland, the UK, the US and Africa and brought it all together. And it just sounds amazing. And I think you've got something, you know, like Multicultural Week in the college, because I'm sure that there's musicians, as you say, 44 nationalities, what you said?
43. Yeah.
I mean, of those 43, there's got to be at least 20 people who play music to some proficiency, probably more.
Yeah.
So, and there'll be people that all have different musical tastes, all have different sort of, you know, ways that they've learned music over the years. So to bring all those together can create something really interesting. And I suppose it enriches us too, because it makes us better.
Yeah.
We share, but we also learn. And the more we take in, the more we understand. And the more we understand, ultimately, the better we are.
Like, you actually just gave me an idea there, because like, I also make music. And I was like, I feel like that would be something
we great. Could I look forward to being your manager.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I need one, actually.
Oh, but not fair enough. No, you know what? Don't come to me. I'm great at talking, but I'm useless at things like maths, getting things done.
No, see.
I'm one of those people that talks a lot.
Oh,
I'm in the perfect job. If I have to do things, I'm in trouble.
I understand.
Mm. Christian, I presume you're going to be the star of the Onwy game this afternoon, or are we going to get to the
I
point?
I can't make it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting then to see how it goes with a whole bunch of new people playing the game.
But since we're 6 years, we kind of have to supervise it for all the other ones.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure everything is on track.
Now, you're 6 years, and that means, I presume, leaving Cert in June?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So, but I mean, you know, and this is, I'm sure there's a bit of balancing involved as well, because on the one hand, you have your studies. I mean, you know, and you're really into the serious time now once you get into the after Easter period. Now it's a long time since I did my 43 years since I did my leaving cert now, so I barely remember it, to be honest. But you know, you're trying to balance the need to study, the need to get ready for that, with the mentoring duties as well. So you have quite a bit in your plate for the next couple of weeks.
Yes, it's like mostly stressful, but like being the mentoring program relieves that stress in a way, because like you have something other than the leaving cert to focus on. Yeah. So like it's just a nice, what you call it, break in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to every single day.
Yeah. And in terms of, okay, you're going to be presumably moving on to college or wherever once we get past June. Are you training up, or are you mentoring new mentors, if that makes sense? Are you bringing new mentors in that will, coming in from fifth year and fourth year at the moment, that will actually, you know, be able to carry on the work that you're doing?
Oh, yeah, we actually have fifth year and TY mentors, but like I'd say the main like big brothers in a way is the 6 years.
Yeah.
And then is the fifth years for next year. We're going to choose a head mentor and see who's suited right. So, yeah, it like all works in a cycle. So once the third year goes to TY, they can become a mentor if they want to.
Yeah.
It's like your choice.
And it's interesting the way you say we choose a mentor. I mean, does that actually suggest that, as well as the teachers and the coordinators, you actually are going to have a say in this, that you're going to be part of the management of what happens next?
Yeah, like we all have a decision, and even like the students can have a choice in this.
And Christian, important from your point of view that is the case, that I mean, you know, it's giving you an investment, as it were, in what's happening in the college. It makes you feel, you know, more part of it in a way.
Yes, and also teachers don't, you know, hang out with students like every day like we do, and we have kind of a better feel for things, how with the best candidates that would be.
And it's important that that's recognized.
Yeah.
Final thoughts in terms of the mentoring program, and I'll go to you first, Christian, on this. You know, looking back now over your time as a mentor, has it helped you as a student? Has it helped you as a person?
It has. I've learned, actually, to be more open and to be able to put the nervous feeling down of talking to teachers about these students who needed a bit of help in certain subjects, or if they weren't feeling that well, they would always come to us, and we would try and help them out.
And that's going to stand you in good stead as you head toward college now, as you head toward whatever happens after June. Raheem, I'm going to put the same question to you. I mean, in terms of your studies and in terms of your personal development, what has the mentorship program meant to you?
Well, the mentor program has helped me more on a personal level. Like, I've been able to meet a lot of new people and, like, build my own social skills in a way, because, like, you know, when you're a mentor, you talk to a lot of people. You have to do a lot. You have a lot of responsibilities to handle. So, like, handling those can make your time management better also. But, yeah, mainly on a personal level, it's helped me.
And listen, well done on all you have done. I hope the Sports Day today is a huge success. I hope Multicultural Week in St. Eunan's College is a huge success. And listen, congratulations to you two guys for all the work you're doing, and long may that work continue, and I've no doubt you'll choose the right people to come up to sixth year to become the big brothers and to keep that mentoring work going. But for now, Raheem Siddiqui and Christian Crosnoy, both mentors, Raheem, head mentor indeed, and both sixth year students, thanks indeed for speaking to us today, and all the best for the Leaving Cert in June.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
An absolute pleasure. That's Raheem and Christian. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's 4 minutes to 11. We'll take a short break.
For new perspectives and a fresh vision, join me, Greg Hughes, on the 9 till noon show every Thursday at 10:15 for your voice, your community.
This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. It's Donald Kavanagh standing in for Greg on the programme this morning. A few comments before we go to the headlines with Michaela at 11 o'clock. Congratulations to Cockhill Celtic on winning the league from their neighbours, Buncrana Hearts, and good luck in the Junior Cup final. Quarter says, I bet none of the government ministers have problems paying their electricity bills or buying heating oil. Another quarter says, I strongly support the government in what they do. There's only one government. Get used to it. Despite who wins the election, we will make sure Sinn Féin doesn't go into government. That's what we don't want. Well, it's what you don't want. A substantial number of people, I suspect, do want Sinn Féin in government. And the wonderful thing about elections is we all get the chance to tell the country what we want, and then what happens is based on that. Our government and media tactic of branding any Irish person that shows concern about mass immigration as far-right, fanatics and racists is being seen for what it is, a disgusting tactic to try to shame people into not speaking out. Another caller says, hello, Donald, you were talking about dogs earlier. The dog warden was out in our area last week checking licences. There's a €450 on the spot fine now if you have an unlicensed dog and it's not kept under control.